This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Mark Zuckerberg, Evan Spiegel, Marissa Mayer. These are all successful, respected business people who became CEOs before they hit 40. Spiegel and Zuckerberg, they were both university students when they founded their billion-dollar empires, and by the age of 23, were already millionaires. We've been noticing a trend for appointing new CEOs younger than 40 years old. While the average age of CEOs around the world is still between 45 and 55, we are still seeing more CEOs under the age of 40 and even under the age of 30 taking over C-suite positions. And apparently, there are good reasons for this. This is Resource Center. My name is Audrey Raj, and on the show today, we ask the question, is the C-suite robbing the cradle? And to answer this and tell us how this all makes sense in the grand scheme of things is Monica Villa.Medina from Monroe Consulting Group.
Of course. First of all, it's a pleasure to be here again, Audrey. Always a pleasure. My name is Monica. I'm a managing director of Monroe Consulting Group. It's a headhunting executive search firm. All right. And my background, as you can see, per my accent, I'm from Spain, from Barcelona, and I've been in Malaysia for 3.5 years now. So pleasure to be here running the company Monroe Malaysia.
So Monica, we're talking about young CEOs. Yep. Why is this happening? Is it a fad or is there some logic behind having these young, fresh minds at the helm?
So it definitely comes from the new markets right now. So as you know, we are in a fast-moving environment, yeah? And the markets are changing so quickly right now. For the last two decades, we had technological advancements. We had this new generation, the so-called Y generation coming. We had economic fluctuations. We had so many changes, right? And due to these changes, some people, yeah, from the younger generation may be more adaptable, let's say, to these changes and a little bit prepared or very prepared for the technological changes as well. So they are usually taking more and more positions, and we are seeing more young CEOs taking the place of CEOs that usually were between the age of 45 or 55 years old. So yes, this is happening, and it's happening thanks to the or due to the circumstances of the corporate scene, I would say.
So companies are actually consciously appointing younger CEOs. Maybe you can give us some examples of this.
Yeah, so there is two things. They are appointing new CEOs and other C-level people. And they are also these CEOs have been created themselves. They have created themselves. They founded a company and then they naturally grew into the CEO position, yeah? But talking about the appointed ones, we have many cases now and more coming. So I would mention maybe Andrew Wilson, who was appointed CEO of EA, the gaming. And Kay Skouza, appointed CEO of Icahn Enterprises as well. So both of them under 40 years old. Okay, quite young. And then we have other C-level positions which are also very important, like Stefan Gillette. He was actually CIO first of Starbucks and then became COO of Symantec, or this huge food company, Kraft Heinz, that you know, yeah? Appointed David Knopf to the CFO, in this case, position, and he was only 29 years old, so...
Sheesh.
Very young, yeah.
I'm feeling really old right now.
Yeah. Me too. Well, I'm actually Mark Zuckerberg's age, so
okay.
still there. And we also see, like, not only like it's CEO, as I said, it's also C-level positions, and also women are also entering these positions as well. So Yahoo appointed Marissa Mayer.
Yes, Marissa Mayer, yeah.
So they appointed her at the age, I think it was 37 or 38 years old. So
there's still hope for me then, okay.
There's still hope for everyone.
I mean, so just looking at some of the companies that you just mentioned, you know, Yahoo, Facebook, Snapchat, does this happen mainly in the tech field, these young CEOs?
Yes, so it happens in also traditional sectors, I would say, but it happens a lot in the tech field, okay? And due to what I was mentioning before, I think the technological advancements that we see right now, technology or tech companies, or I would say internet is an amazing platform, yeah, for entrepreneurs to build a company, to make it grow successfully without much investment, yeah, and naturally become the CEOs of these companies as well. So it is just the what we call the internet entrepreneurship, right?
Yeah, I guess it helps that these young CEOs are digital natives, so they kind of just adapt naturally.
Correct. So when all these technological innovations came in, they were at a very young age, okay? They were kids or adolescents, okay? So they absorb all this knowledge and they know how to handle it. They are tech savvy. So they easily, I would say that they know how to program, they know how to develop apps, so they can build a business from home or from the room of Harvard University, like Mark Zuckerberg, right?
Yeah.
So they don't require a lot of investment. They do require knowledge, and they do require this creativity that they all share, right?
Yeah, correct. Okay. So do you think globalization has changed top management as well? I mean, we see younger CEOs today due to a more internationally exposed business?
Yeah. Yes. I think that globalization affects everything. So, and that definitely affects the way companies are appointing new top management. So companies are more international now as well. So they are not in one market only. They are in different countries. And C-level, C-suite executives as well. They have international background as well. This gives them a global mindset that it's very positive for a company's success. In a way, they can build strategies or ideas that can be implemented in different countries, yeah? Mm. Or the other way around, they can get ideas from outside that they can implement on a local basis, like Grab, for example, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. What about money? Do you think business angels are playing a part in the growth of these young CEOs? I know in the Silicon Valley that in order to get funding, some people feel the founder or the CEO needs to be at least at a maximum of 32 years of age. That seems really young, but I think in the tech field that is acceptable. But the average age of entrepreneurs and founders of businesses in the Silicon Valley is at about 47. But investors are more keen to give people money when they are younger. So do you think these business angels play a part as well?
Yes, definitely. So that's a really good point. Actually, business, the philosophy of investment for business angels has changed a lot, and they do invest in high-risk companies or high-risk entrepreneurship, but they have high turnover as well. So, and the interesting thing about it is that they invest in companies and they allow these young entrepreneurs to run it. So probably before we had another way of investing in companies whereby they were, the investors were very much involved in the management of the company, right?
Yeah.
And now they leave them for longer periods to be the top management in the company. So this is why we also see a lot of CEOs. And Silicon Valley, now we see a lot of investment from young entrepreneurs, okay? So for the latest top founders, I would say that the age is around 20 to 35 for 75, around 75% of the new founded companies. So it's changing.
So like you just said, you know, when these founders and CEOs, they're at the ages of like 25 to 30, you know, are the roles of young executives justifiable?
Yes, definitely. I mean, they need certain qualities, not only being entrepreneurs, right? But I do think that the, again, the technological advancement and their knowledge and the way, yeah, they do things, I think that it justifies that they are in these positions. They have proven themselves to be able to run the companies that they have founded. So being a co-founder or a founder, it justifies the fact that you're going to become a CEO if your company is successful and has the financial support. So I do think that it's justified, yeah, especially when it comes to founders or co-founders of the companies, yes. Yeah.
When we come back, does luck play a part in the advancement of these young CEOs? And how does this trend translate to the Malaysian market? That's next on Resource Centre, BFM 89.9.
Building First World Mindsets, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to Resource Centre. I'm Audrey Raj. We are breaking down the logic behind the rise of so many young CEOs today, not only in the Silicon Valley, but around the world. Monica Villadot Medina from Monroe Consulting Group is with me in the studio today. And just before the break, we established that more and more companies are open to employing the young generation as top-level executives for good reasons, one of which is that the young generation possesses sought-after skills that every executive should have. So, Monica, what kind of soft skills are we looking for in young CEOs? Are they same for entrepreneurs in general?
There are a lot of soft skills that they share. So I think that basic, or I would say all of the leadership soft skills that we look, yeah, in top management are shared in entrepreneurs and C-suite executives, so young CEOs. And for young CEOs, we see, for example, risk-taking, yeah, skill, which is, yeah, obviously being brave enough to, yeah, to venture into new ideas and companies, etc. I would say that all leaders need visionary thinking. So even if you are at a young age, you need to have that. You need to be able to have a vision of the future and how you can lead the company better. I think that communication is a key also. So communication is something that you need to have even if it's a young age at all levels as well in the organization. So not only for the people that you're leading, but also for the board or who is part of your top management, yeah? And then other things that I think it's important is change management, right? We are talking about these companies changing so much, and companies now are, let's say, dying very fast, yeah, because the longevity is shrinking. So they need to be able to implement changes and manage these changes as well, yeah? And one very important one, especially for young age CEOs, I would say it's strategic hiring. You're going to be in a position that your company grows very fast, okay? And you definitely need to delegate positions or delegate, yeah, management in the company. And you need to do very good hires because if not, yeah, the company will not be successful. And step back a little bit, yeah, because if you are a co-founder or a founder, normally it's your baby. So, yeah, you will then, yeah, you want to be involved in everything. And if you want to have more strategic views, you need to have that. So stepping back, delegating, change management is something that probably entrepreneurs need to build in order to be successful young CEOs as well.
What about technical skills or expertise? Are they less important?
They are not. And it's true that we talk a lot about soft skills and we don't pay too much attention to technical skills. And I would say that these are essential. Maybe we don't pay so much attention because technical skills, a lot of them, they come with technical skills already. Okay, so they come with this background. But also they need to acquire a lot of skills and, for example, financial skills. Okay, a lot of them, they are great entrepreneurs, they are tech savvy, they have all this, but they don't know about the financial language, right? If you are in a position that you need to talk to a CFO, you need to understand that, okay? And you need to talk the same language. So we see a lot of C-suites or CEOs or young entrepreneurs that they venture into doing an MBA or getting these qualifications that are needed also to be successful in the business. Like the CIO of the one that I told you before, the CIO, Stefan Gillett, CIO in Starbucks, realized that was not able to communicate very well the ideas that he had because it was in a technical language, to the CFO, for example. So he took an MBA, and was able to, to communicate all these ideas easier and to run the company more successful. So, yes, they do need technical skills and they do need financial skills as well.
Based on your experience as the managing director of Monroe Consulting Group, I think you may see examples of this day in and day out. So young CEOs versus old CEOs, which one do you feel is better?
Wow.
Putting you on the spot here.
I'm gonna try to escape. I don't think there is one that is better. I think that it depends on each case. I think that it's a sort of energy versus wisdom concept. The young C-suite executives are going to bring a lot of energy, risk-taking again. Yeah, they are going to venture into new ideas, manage change better, etc. But the older generation, they obviously have the experience, which is very valuable. They are going to be able to run the company in difficult times, which is also necessary. This resilience, it's more towards older generation. So I'm not going to say one or the other. I think that they are both necessary. So if you are looking for change and you're looking for innovation and changing the direction of your company, maybe a younger profile may be good for the company. So hope this answers the question.
Okay. Now, if you speak to the older generation, the classic, the traditional board, the C-suites of yesteryears, they will tell you that, you know, all these new, young, fresh CEOs, they're all just lucky. They just, you know, struck gold. It was just an idea that worked for them. There are many other youngsters out there who didn't have the right idea. Do you think it's a case of luck that these young CEOs are so successful?
So I don't think so. I think it's a fact that not enough time has happened yet. So these young CEOs need to prove themselves, obviously. So we need to prove the success stories of these young CEOs. So they will, you know, open the eyes of this C-suite, that you are mentioning, they have to prove themselves. But I also think that there is always lack in any business. I do think that entrepreneurs now, they know that 1 out of 10 ventures is not gonna work. So the other will fail, right? So yes, there is an element of luck in any business, all right? And it's also for young entrepreneurs. So these CEOs that they created an amazing idea, they may do a business that is really successful. They may make millions out of it and then decide to open new businesses that may not work out, until another one works out. So, but I definitely think if you have done it once, you have also the skills to create something valuable. So it may not work the second, the third, but maybe the fourth entrepreneurship will work again. So it depends. There is luck, but there is a lot behind also. So there is an element of luck, but there is a lot behind a CEO profile to make him successful,
So say you're a pre-existing company, you've been around for 20, 30 years, and you feel like you need a fresh injection of youth, of ideas. When do you decide to hire a new and younger CEO?
So I think that the company has a life cycle. So if you see that your company is at the moment that requires innovation to just pump up the life cycle of the company, then it's a good time. I think that it's a very difficult decision when it comes to the board or top management in a company because you are at a point that whether you go into your top management and see who has the potential to be the successor for the CEO position or you consider bringing an outsider into the company. So first, this needs to be obviously decided. And then, yes, I think it's a good option. And we are seeing it more and more to look for an outsider, which is going to bring also new ideas, new, ventures to the company, change and probably bring the company to a more successful scenario. So, yeah, definitely a good idea to bring an outsider if this outsider has success stories with him or her and can bring changes to the company, yeah.
So one of the questions that me and my team, we were talking about just before we came into the studio was about boxing years of experience into that short frame that these younger CEOs tend to have today, right? So how do recruiters, deal with questions like that, you know, having a young CEO that has boxed 20 or 30 years of experience into just 10 in their working career?
And this is something that it's very discussed at the C-level, yeah? In 10 years, you may have created three successful companies. So
that's the trend we're noticing today.
Yes, correct. So again, it needs to be proven that you are a successful CEO, even at a young age. And a lot of CEOs, they have been 20 years in a company, but it has been the same, or 30 years in three companies, and they have run it successfully. But a young CEO can also be able to run successfully within a period of 3 years one company. So we need to look at the achievements, the tangible achievements that we see in the young CEOs, and prove it still by experience, even if this experience is shorter. And I would tell you the soft skills. So we are going to be looking at soft skills of these people to be able to identify these competences that CEOs have, and analyze if they are fit enough to run the company. Yeah, so soft skills again are very important.
Are there some soft skills that are more important than others?
There are, especially for younger CEOs. I think that in some cases they haven't faced conflicts or problems, big enough in a corporate, and probably all the generation, they have the experience. So I think that conflict management, for example, or change management, it's soft skills that you need to look into. How are they going to be running the company if this happens, right? So, yeah, there are a few that are essential to look if you are appointing a new CEO. So, yeah.
So say a company comes to you at Monroe Consulting Group and asks for a young CEO, how do you ensure that such a recruitment is effective for that company?
Yeah. So it's, first of all, talking a lot with the company, making sure that the trust is there, because many times, and I've been sitting in a boardroom, and they want you to look for a younger successor, but they are not, for example, willing to pay as much as they would for someone that has 30 years of experience, or more. So the talk needs to be there, okay? Because, you need to box 20, 30 years of experience in just 10, and they need to be able to pay a competitive package,
price.
For someone that has a lot of experience, it's very difficult to accept that you're going to be offering something very high to someone that has like one third of your experience, right? But has proven successful experience as well, so you have to value that. So this is the first thing that you have to do, and they also need to be able to explain without hiding much information what is the challenges that the company is facing, and what do they want, what do they envision for the company in the future. If we executive search consultants, we don't understand this, we're not going to be able to tap into the right CEOs. Okay, so this is one thing. And then cultural fit, you need to make sure that this person is going to be perfect for the company. They need change, but it's also going to fit culturally. And many other things. Later on, you have to meet with this as many as possible C-level people, even if they are not CEOs, but meet them aggressively. So through networking, you can find the right one, have a very decent meeting with them, yeah, understand if they have the right motivation, the passion, the intellectual curiosity for the job, et cetera, and they are the perfect fit. And once you have that, then the offer, which I'm not going to enter into explaining how an offer goes at the level, but it's very complicated. It's a very difficult process and it's a very long one. When it comes to C-level, you have to think that it's around 12 months or
wow.
more.
Yeah.
Wow. To get them. And especially because there is notice period, which is very long at this level. If they are a good CEO, they don't want to leave a company. Yeah. Without doing the job properly or leaving it in good hands. So it's definitely a long process. It cannot be immediate.
Yeah. All right, Monica, just before we go, local companies, how are local companies reacting to this shift towards younger CEOs?
So quite well. I mean, before we were talking about U.S. new CEOs and new C-level people being appointed, and then it was time for Europe and so many European companies appointing new CEOs or creating these amazing companies and the creators being the CEOs. And now we see it in Asia. Mm. Definitely we see it. So we have a lot of new co-founders and founders being CEOs, and then also new appointed CEOs in Asia. I already mentioned Grab, Anthony Tan. I think that we have a great example here, okay, of someone that took an idea, implemented really successfully at the local level, now expanding throughout Asia. So an amazing success story. Also, his friend who happened to study with him in Harvard, Nadiem Makarin. He's actually, have you heard of this company Gojek in Indonesia?
Yes, yeah. Of course.
So he founded and is CEO of this company as well. And as I told you, they studied together in Harvard. They were really good friends.
Mm.
Yeah, both Nadiem and Anthony. Now I don't think they are that friends anymore.
Competitors in the marketplace.
Yeah. Correct. They are competing. But we have many other examples. Wang Shirui, he was appointed at 28 CEO at Medlinka. Taichi Murakami, this is in Japan, at 29 years old, it's president and founder of LifeSense. Rim Ji-hoon, Sean Hang-chun, sorry for the pronunciation, but amazing CEO of HNG Capital. So many other examples, actually. So it's happening, and I don't think it's going to stop. And it's actually, I'm actually happy to see it in a way. I think that 3 years ago, I was talking in a convention in Chile about millennials and how they are entering the corporate world and they are taking it, you know, and making a change. And now I am seeing many CEOs and C-level being appointed at a young age, and they are driving the change. So I'm very happy to see it. So again, I defend also experience. I think that experience, it gives you a lot, yeah? But we can give a chance also to these young and energetic CEOs, yeah? They're taking the market.
All right. Thank you so much, Monica, for joining us. It's always a pleasure to have you and friends from Munro Consulting Group on the show.
As well. Thank you so much, Audrey. Thanks.
I've been speaking with Monica Velada Medina from Munro Consulting Group. Now, if you missed any part of the show, you know what to do. Go look for the podcast on bfm.my, that's our website, or just get the BFM mobile app that's available on the Apple App Store and on Google Play, and let your favorite podcast come to you. My name is Audrey Raj, and on behalf of Monica from Munro Consulting Group, thank you for listening to Resource Center, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.